The date today is the 28th.
April 28th. My grandson's birthday.
Oh, your grandson's birthday? How old is he?
Three. We were there yesterday.
Congratulations. Thank Happy you. Birthday, Grandma.
Thank you. That's the grandchildren.
How
this
many?
This is the little guy. Uh-huh. We have five altogether.
Wow. Very nice. Very. I'm sure you enjoy them.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. She's so cute. She's 9 months now. Uh-huh. She's got her two bottom teeth coming.
Yeah. They all live in Toronto.
No, actually, two live in Port Hope. Uh-huh. They live in Port, and my son lives in Brampton, uh-huh. the one we went to yesterday.
Yeah, so nobody's no. 5 hours away.
No.
It might be 1 hour
And
away.
My youngest son lives upstairs.
Mm-hmm. So you have three children.
Three boys, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, me too, I have three boys.
One's a stepson.
Uh-huh. I just want to say I'm, today, as I said, it's the 28th of April, and I'm sitting in the home of Connie Cardoso. I want to say thank you very much for allowing me to interview you.
Would you like a tea or coffee?
No, thank you very much. But you told me, just as I was sitting down, that your family moved here in 1963, and you were 7 years old at the time.
That's right.
Who else lived here at that time?
Well, when my dad bought the house, at the time he paid $17.5 million for this house.
Okay.
And at the time, they used to buy it fully furnished. The owners that were here said, you can have all the furniture for another $1,000 or whatever, you get all the furniture. So for them, my dad, it was a little easier. Because he came in 56.
From where?
Portugal, Azores.
Uh-huh.
And when he came, he was rooming houses with, all the men. In those days, they'd come first to get some money.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to Canada, they landed in Montreal. So he stayed in Montreal. And he came with his two brother-in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would land in Montreal. If they found work there, they would stay there. And if not, they would move on to Toronto. So he came to Toronto, worked here. And one of his brother, my uncle, moved to Winnipeg because there wasn't enough work here for them. So he ended up in Winnipeg. And then my father's cousin went to Calgary.
So they went wherever
so
there
wherever
was work.
So wherever was work, yeah.
But your father found work in Toronto.
So my father stayed in Toronto.
And what kind of work did he do?
Construction. Back then it was construction.
Uh-huh. And did he stay with construction always?
No. Mainly construction. Mm-hmm. But if there wasn't enough work in construction, they went into janitorial, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he bought the house, it's funny that I found some papers of his, and the lawyer who closed the deal, the lawyer's mother, took back a second mortgage on the house.
At $17,500.
Yeah. So, and they would put like $500 down, right?
So you began to live here at age 7.
Yes.
What were some of the things that you remember from such a young age about the neighborhood?
Well, my girlfriend lived 2 doors down. Uh-huh. My best friend.
Was her family also from the Azores?
No, they were from the mainland.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of her birthday parties. This is my other brother. He passed away now.
Uh-huh.
And this brother lives down the street.
So you're on the street and your brother is on the street.
My brother lives at 53. My cousin lives at 53, so he's in the basement apartment there.
Uh-huh.
And this boy here is Oriental.
Uh-huh.
And back then there weren't a lot of Orientals here. And his brother lives across the street still. And his daughter lives. The Lewis family.
So that's another family that has stayed here.
Yeah, they stayed
50 here. Years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His brother lives there and his daughter lives there.
So you're saying you described him as Oriental,
yeah.
And your family's from the Azores.
Right.
Where else were people from? As you were, 7
well,
and 12.
The lady next door here, she was Jewish.
Uh-huh.
But back then there was a lot of Portuguese. Like across the street was a rental and
uh-huh.
It was Portuguese living there.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of Portuguese were moving into this area because of Kensington Market.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad came in 56, the hardship they had was that there was no one else to help them.
Yes.
And to get like food, Portuguese bread, things like that, it wasn't around back then. So they were eating foreign food to them was foreign.
And the bread is such a significant kind.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And fish and that. So when the market, Augusta Market, it catered a lot to the Portuguese back then. They had Portuguese employees, so they at least had someone to talk to.
And did they have any bakeries where they made Portuguese breads at that time?
Not in 56, no. It eventually came. I worked in the market when I was a student in high school.
Where did you work?
In a Portuguese bakery.
Uh-huh. So at that time, there were good Portuguese
breeds. Yeah. So then when I was working there in the 70s, early 70s, there were 4 Portuguese bakeries down there.
And are they still there?
No.
They're all gone.
They're all gone. The ones that were there back then are all gone. But there is a Portuguese bakery still there, but it's not the same. Well, it's actually in the same building where the Portuguese bakery was that associated with the one I worked, because mm-hmm. the one I worked at had 2. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you the names of them after. I'll tell you.
But tell me more about the neighborhood at this.
Okay.
At that time. So you're saying that you had some Asian and Jewish and Portuguese neighbors.
And a few Italian. There were a few Italian families in the area. But a lot of the Portuguese. And a lot of them were buying the homes.
Portuguese.
But there were a lot that were coming in the 70s. There were tenants. Across the street was tenants. And the one at 61 Major were Portuguese tenants.
When your family bought the house, who lived in this house?
When we lived here?
Yes.
We lived on the first floor.
Yes.
And then the second floor was Portuguese people my father rented to.
So you were 5 of you on this floor?
On this floor, yeah.
And then on the second floor?
There was a family.
And how many were there?
4.
Uh-huh.
2
So
kids.
There were 9 of you living under this roof.
And two seniors on the third floor.
So that's 11 of you.
Yeah.
How many kitchens? How many bathrooms?
3 kitchens, 3 bathrooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 3 kitchens, 2 full bathrooms. No, 1 full bathroom on the second floor. We shared the bathroom on the second floor until my dad built this one.
So at that time there... Okay, so the 5 of you and the 4 of them on the second floor.
Shared one bathroom.
One bathroom.
Yes.
When did your dad build this one on the first floor?
In the 60s. He died in 76.
Uh-huh.
So but in the 60s. Late 60s. Because he was good friends. This picture was taken at 61.
Uh-huh.
And this is 67. And that's my friend Dolores. And they owned the 2 houses, 61 and 63 and 65, actually. Sorry, 63 and 65.
And was Dolores also, her family also from the Azores?
No, mainland.
Uh-huh. But what I hear you saying is people were buying houses. They didn't have a lot of money, but they were buying
them. No, they were buying them, yeah.
And they would put a lot of people into their home
and
rent the others.
Yeah.
So buying property was one of the values that a lot of people...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And back then, you didn't use credit cards back then. They would go down to the market and they'd buy like furniture mm-hmm. and you would go in every week with your pay and you'd put down $100 against your debt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they bought things then. It wasn't credit cards. Even the bakery. I know my mother would go to the bakery every day and she'd buy her bread and they'd put it on they had a booklet with her name on it.
Give her credit, but she would pay.
And then at the end of the week she'd get paid, she'd go in and they'd add it all up and she'd pay them up.
Now you at the end of the week... Your father worked in construction. Did your mother work outside the home?
Yeah, she worked on Spadina. I can give you the name of the company, Sheffer Hillman.
And what
seamstress. She was a seamstress.
Oh, so she was skilled. What kinds of things did she make? Dresses, you mean, or hats?
Suits, men's suits.
Uh-huh. So she had a serious skill.
Yeah. And she back then you worked piecework.
So you got paid for exactly
for
whatever.
For what you made. Right. So she would go in early. She'd take her thermos with coffee. And she started at around 7:30.
So who took care of you and your siblings?
My 2 brothers. The lady on the third floor, if we needed anything, we would go upstairs and talk to her about it. She was an elderly woman.
But she would take care
of you. So she would, if I needed something, she'd help me.
Uh-huh.
But basically my brothers took care of me, which wasn't very good.
In what way?
In that they didn't care if I ate or I didn't eat. You know, we were 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. So I was 7. My other brother who lives down the street was 9, and the one that passed away, he would have been 11.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd come home for lunch, and it was, okay, hurry up, grab something to eat.
So they wouldn't prepare anything or help you.
So, you know, you'd have a glass of milk
uh-huh.
and a piece of bread or something, and if I didn't eat,
they
too
didn't
bad.
Care.
They didn't care. They just wanted to get back to the schoolyard to play.
Do you remember whether other mothers were also working?
Yeah, most of them worked. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, and then my mother had... She wanted her family here. She missed her family a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother didn't come because my father was afraid she was elderly mm-hmm. and he didn't think he could afford if she were to get sick and die here. So she didn't come over. But my aunt, my mother's sister, she came.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived here with us and she took care of us after that.
she lived here on the first floor with you?
Yeah, actually, this room back here, she lived here with her. She had two little babies.
Oh, my God. So it was the five of you and the three of them.
Yeah.
Eight of you on the first floor.
This was actually a bigger room. This actually was a bedroom. And then after the fire, when they, you know, back then it was just, they used plaster, right, on the walls.
Yes.
But after the fire, they have to put 2x4s insulation. So that takes about 4 or 5 inches of the wall. So it makes the room a bit smaller. They come, all the walls come in about 5 inches. But back then you could fit like a double bed there with your dresser and your
nightstand.
But it
was still your family of five and your aunt and her young children.
And the two
eight of you on this floor.
Yeah.
Still then, with one bathroom on the second floor that you all shared.
That's right.
Oh my God.
We all share that bathroom.
So there were 12 of you sharing that bathroom.
Yeah.
Plus the older people upstairs.
The people on the third floor had, here comes my brother.
Yeah.
Come in.
Check out this big grill.
That's.
So you certainly had a lot of people living under this roof, but it sounds as if the family was close.
Yeah, we were very close.
How many years did your aunt live here with her children?
She lived here for probably a year or two, and then she went to the third floor. The elderly couple on the third floor, they had two sons at one time that were living in the States, so they moved out, and my aunt moved to the third floor. So then she had, like, it was two rooms, kitchen, and a balcony, and a 1.5 bath up there.
And she continued to help take care of you, I guess, because your mother was working.
Yeah, my mother was working, so my aunt was a stay-at-home mother. And so she would, like, make my lunch when I came from school at lunchtime.
So that was nice for you, better than your brothers who neglected you.
Yeah, and I used to get a lot of headaches back then, but I never associated it with the fact that I wasn't eating properly.
Oh, yeah.
So when I'd come home with a headache, I'd phone my mother at work, and she'd say, okay, go upstairs and ask her to give you an aspirin. So I'd go upstairs and talk to the lady.
She gave you an aspirin, but not lunch.
No, just she'd give me an aspirin and something to drink. She was very nice. She taught me to knit.
Oh, that was nice.
And crochet. Yeah, I used to crochet a lot. And then we had friends across the street, too. If I needed to go across the street, they were Portuguese people, friends of my dad. So I'd go across the street.
Mm-hmm. What language were you speaking in the house?
Portuguese.
When did you learn English? How old were you?
Well, when I went to school, I learned it. But inside the house, we spoke Portuguese, but with my friends, I spoke English.
And what about your parents? Did they learn English?
Well, a few words here and there. Like, my mother could sort of speak. She understood fully, but she would speak in broken English.
And your father?
And he would speak also broken English. They never learned it fluently.
When your father was working, was he working mainly with people who spoke Portuguese?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's why they don't really... But my mother, because she worked in the factory on Spadina, she started picking up more English.
So she was working with English-speaking people, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Her English got better than your father's, possibly.
Yes. Well, he died in 76. And she, towards the end, she spoke more because of my boys, because she babysat my boys when I went to work.
And they spoke English to her.
And they spoke English to her, yeah. They don't speak Portuguese, my boys. My son Rob upstairs, he's dating a Portuguese girl, and her family can't believe that he doesn't speak Portuguese. But he's like born and raised here, right?
Yeah. So, did you speak Portuguese to him? And oh, you spoke English to
my
him?
My husband's Portuguese also, but we speak English to each other. Yeah. That's our natural. We both went to Lord Lansdowne, my husband also. He lived on Oxford down at the market.
When you were going to Lord Lansdowne, so I guess you started about 6 years old. Where were all the children playing? When you played outside with your friends, where did you play?
Well, in the schoolyard when we were at school. And at home we played on the street. And we played across the street at the hospital. When it was the doctor's hospital, they had a big parking area. And we would play there. And of course the security guards would come out and yell at us for making too much noise. We used to play dodgeball and hide and seek. Because there were stairs coming out from the hospital there. Big, they were like very large stairs. And we would just, you know, play hide and seek in the area.
And when you said you played on the street, does that mean on the sidewalk, on the road, in the back lane? What does that mean?
Like literally on the street we would play. And on the sidewalk and across the street in the parking lot we'd play hopscotch and skipping. Yeah, back then you were on the street all the time until the lights came out and then your parents would go on the veranda and yell out your name and you'd come in the house.
You're smiling.
You were never in the house back then. Yeah. Not like
you just
now.
Went out to play. What about the back? Did you use the back lane or the back garden?
No, not the back lane, no. And the backyard was basically gardening.
With
your
what?
Vegetables.
Uh-huh.
Like we had this side here was all vegetables and the other side was flowers. So what? All the vegetables. They always had a vegetable garden.
And what vegetables did they grow?
Collard greens was number one, and cabbage, and then and tomatoes.
And what do you have back here now?
Just a deck. Like we do barbecuing. So I basically, now I'm growing tomatoes, but in planters.
So what you have in this house decades later is a deck, a barbecue, and your tomatoes, but you're not growing them like your parents did.
No, we don't grow. But this year we're going to put green beans and the tomatoes, and I want to put, because you have to have a lot of sun to grow your vegetables, right? So, and we get the sun in the morning, but in the afternoon it's all in the front. So I want to do green beans and some lettuce. I want to do the vegetables.
It's nice when you can pick them and just eat them 5 minutes later and they're so fresh.
Yeah, last year was the first year we did tomatoes. We bought like it was a mature plant at Costco. And we got tomatoes for the whole summer of that plant. So basically one plant's enough. So we'll do container planting this year.
Talk to me please about Kensington Market, how your family used it starting in 1963 and how you use it. So it's all these years later.
Yeah. Okay, in the beginning, because they didn't have cars, my dad never had a car. And a lot of the immigrants didn't have cars, so they would go down and there would be delivery, right? They'd deliver your groceries to the house.
From the market.
Yeah. So I would go down on Thursdays. My mom worked at the market, so on Thursdays, when she got her paycheck, we'd go down to the market. I'd meet her there, and then we'd go to... We used Zimmerman Hartman. That was the grocery store we used the most, because they delivered. And we'd go, and I'd meet her, and we'd do our groceries. And they catered to the Portuguese. The butchers were Portuguese-speaking. A lot of the employees were Portuguese-speaking, so the people felt comfortable, right, to ask for things. And they started to... There was fisheries down there, too. There was one called Saragoza Fishing. And there was an import company down there. It closed down in the late 80s, but it was called Carrera Import Export. And they brought all the Portuguese, like, canned goods, beans, all that stuff that they used, so they could get a lot of their things that they...
But that's so wonderful. Everybody could have all these familiar products.
The Portuguese, the fish, the bread, because cornbread was a big staple. Whenever you had fish, you had cornbread, right? So the Portuguese bakeries started to have... I can name the Portuguese bakeries for you. There was McAllen's Bakery. There was the Lisbon Bakery on the corner of Oxford and Augusta. The McAllen's Bakery is where the rice bar is. You know, the first restaurant on the...
Yes.
That used to be the McAllen's Bakery. It's the McAllen's family, and they owned the two houses next door to that. And then you had the Lisbon, and then you had... I forget.
But there were...
Iberica Bakery was the one I worked at, and there were two of them. The owner had two of them, Iberica.
And that would have been in the 80s?
Early 70s.
So that changed quite quickly. When you talked about when your father was here, there was nothing.
Yeah.
And then there were all these bakeries and fish
Most
stores.
Of the market became Portuguese in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s.
Did your parents do all their shopping at the market?
Yeah, they didn't drive. So they did all their shopping there. And then the guy would deliver it, you know. You come home. By the time we made it home from the store, it was on the veranda.
Very convenient.
You didn't have to worry about people stealing your food then.
Yeah. What about other stores in the neighborhood? Corner stores or stores on Harvard? What do you remember
about
that?
Well, we used College Street mostly.
So, of course, you were closest to college.
Yeah, there was the Home Hardware. It's no longer there, but it was on the corner of Robert and College. That's where everybody went to pick up their... you know, paint supplies, nails, hammers, all that stuff. And then there was a little, right next to it, it's a hair shop now, but it was a little convenience store. And then there was Anna's on Robert Street, Anna's
yes.
story. You know Anna?
Oh, yes.
She
yes.
passed away now? Yeah, or yeah. she moved out?
I'm going to be meeting one of her sons this week.
Oh, yeah? Which one? Carlos? The younger one?
He's a lawyer, I think.
Oh, the older son, yeah. She had two boys.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to meet him this week or next week.
We yeah, he actually worked with me at the Royal Bank for a bit.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And he was a student.
So that's staff. Another store where he
yeah, shopped. That was more of a convenience store.
Uh-huh.
Right across from the school.
Yes.
So we would go over there, and for a quarter, you could get a bagel with bologna, or a Kaiser with bologna sandwich for a quarter.
It sounds as if it's so clear in your memory.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Quarter back then would give you a pop and chips.
Yeah. And now what'll it give you?
Yeah.
Not much.
Nothing. No. Yeah. I remember me and Dolores. We were like this girl here,
yes.
the one that lived. That's her. Lived uh-huh. two doors. We were like attached at the hip. So whenever you were looking for one, you would look for the other.
So it was kind of my best friend.
Yeah, we were best friends.
Where is she now?
She lives in Mississauga. Uh-huh. I still keep in touch with her. I talk to her. I see her. She's got two grandchildren, two grandsons uh-huh. now. And her brother. That's her brother, Fern.
Uh-huh.
And I still see him. We went to California last year together.
You and her brother?
Her brother and his wife, Odette, and me and my husband
uh-huh.
went to California. I have pictures of them here, up-to-date
pictures. How about we look at the pictures after?
Okay.
Okay, so yeah. while we're speaking to each other. What about churches and synagogues? What do you remember about those?
Oh, we went to Mount Carmel.
Where's
was
that?
It was on near McCall, on the other mm-hmm. side of McCall. I don't mm-hmm. know the name of the street. It's a Chinese church now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's the church we went to. We'd walk there from, you know, after school, me and my brothers, when we had catechism.
Mm-hmm.
And then that closed down. So we went to Agnes Street, St. Agnes Church on Grace and Dundas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so it was in the other direction.
Yeah,
you went west after that.
Yeah, we went there. That's where the priest went from Mount Carmel. He went to St. Agnes.
So you stayed with the priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the priest there was from my mother's hometown.
Oh, that was meaningful.
Yeah, so of course, you know, you went... Because back then, that's when people asked you where you were from, you would say, we're from the parish of, in Portugal. We were from the parish of, you know, this. That's how you identified where you were from.
So I guess in that respect, staying with the priest made you do a similar thing.
Yeah.
This is our priest.
Yeah.
It's his parish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went to St. Agnes. That's where we had our communions and our confirmations.
So that just, sounds if it was significant in your
yeah.
lives for all of you.
Yeah. We'd walk down to, we'd take the streetcar here on Bathurst, mm-hmm. down to Grace and go to church.
Do you remember any synagogues in the neighborhood?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Because, of course, we didn't associate with the synagogues.
Right? Yeah,
it was just
right.
Catholic churches.
So you've been here for 50 years.
Yes.
Ooh, big number.
I know.
How has your street changed?
Well, now you have a lot more professional people living here.
Mm-hmm.
Back then it was mostly the immigrants,
uh-huh.
a lot of rentals. We still have a lot of rentals, but the rentals aren't families, they're students now.
Mm-hmm. And you said you did major renovations, there was a fire. Would you tell me the year and how the what kind of changes you made to
okay.
your home?
So the fire was in 2000 and... I think it was 2004, March 2004.
And how many homes did it affect?
Three.
Uh-huh.
And then it took so long for the insurance company to start. They didn't cover the roof properly, so the damage was more extensive than originally from the fire. There was a lot of mold and water damage because they didn't cover it. So in the end, they had to come in and gut the whole house, right back down to the studs.
Where did you live at that time?
Oh, I didn't live here. I lived on Dufferin. I had a house on Gladstone. Dufferin.
Okay, so you lived here from 1963, and then you moved out for some years?
Yeah, I moved out when I got married. I bought my own home.
Uh-huh.
So I moved out in 77.
Okay.
Oh, 79, actually.
Okay. But your parents were still here?
My parents, yeah.
And when did you move back? Right into this same house at number 67 Major.
In 2006.
And what happened at that time that made you make that decision?
Well, my mom had dementia,
uh-huh.
so I was looking after my mom.
Uh-huh.
And then after the fire, I had to put her in a nursing home.
Uh-huh. So after the renovations, you took over the home.
So again. Right after the fire, I said to my brother, we got to do something with the house, and I want to upgrade it from what the insurance company was going to do. And I said to him, so if I got to put my money into it, I have to know what you want to do. You can buy me out, or I can buy you out. So he decided I'd buy him out. Mm-hmm. So I bought him and my mother out, and then we put some of our own money to upgrade.
So that was in 2006, 2007?
Yeah. No, 2005.
Oh, 2000. Oh, and 2006, the family. When did the fire happen?
2004.
Oh, so all this happened after the fire. Uh-huh. You bought them out, and you've been here ever since?
Since 2006, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I moved back in. Yeah.
What appealed to you about coming back to the home where you had grown up?
I love the neighborhood, right? And I like Victorian houses.
Uh-huh. What do you like about the neighborhood that brought you back?
Well, I know all the neighbors still, so I can sit on the veranda. Mm-hmm. I have my girlfriend lives up the street. I know the gentleman that lives, I can't remember the number. I know the lady at 75, Miss Maria, and then, so he would live at 79. My girlfriend Rita lives a few doors up. My friend Paul and Tina, they live just after Ulster. So I know a lot of the neighbors still. My cousin lives down here.
Are you saying that Paula, Tina, these people, they were here when you grew up?
Yeah, Paul and Tina, yeah.
So a number of people were here in the 60s, 70s?
Yeah, that still live here.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was, in some ways, it was coming home again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I could sit on the veranda and I'll say hi to, like, at least a dozen people.
Yeah.
That I still know. They stop, they talk to me when I walk up and down the street. And I love gardening. Mm-hmm. I used to love gardening. So my husband has to take that over now. But I love sitting there and just watching my flowers grow.
So you watch your flowers grow and you say hello to lots of the people that you know and like.
To all the people, and I sit there, have my tea and read a book. That's what, he's wanted to get me out of this area forever.
So he doesn't feel about it the way you
no,
do?
No, no. Even though he grew up on Oxford, eh, Danny? Danny! Come here for a sec.
He's wearing his headphones. He's listening to music or something.
Yeah, he lived on Oxford. He grew up on Oxford. Danny!
What?
Come here for a sec.
He's keep letting the cat in, but not the dog or something like that. Oh, here.
Hey. What?
We're talking about the area and why I like to live here. Why is it you want to move?
Why do I want to move?
You know how you're always bugging me to move out of this area?
Because, well, obviously backyard, we don't have a garage now and stuff like that. You know.
But, so you don't have a garage, you're saying?
No, no. Well, because, you know, the backyard's not very big, right? So we just have a big patio. I mean, a fair-sized patio, right?
But you would like to have a garage.
Well, it'd be nice to have it. Like I said, I've had two or three incidents already with my car in the front, right?
Well, incidents meaning what?
The damage.
Breaking windows. Damage.
I lost two GPSs already.
Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah, so, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, that comes with the territory. If you're going to park outside, right? I mean, there's a lot of, well, we'll say kids. I mean, you know, we'll say students. We don't know for sure students, but, you know, kids that come up and down the street, right? So.
Well, certainly it is a higher risk.
Just last month, I had one of my rear window broken on my passenger.
So they just smashed the whole
thing. Yeah, they just came, you know, they just go by, you know, smashed and reached in and wherever they got, and there was really nothing. But it was her makeup bag, and we assumed that she lost her makeup bag. So she must have left it in the back seat, and maybe they thought it was more than just a makeup bag.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't realize it was there, because normally I never leave nothing there, right?
Yeah.
You know, to not to entice them, but that kind of stuff.
So you're saying a garage is a big factor for you?
Yeah, right now it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but,
more space.
But Connie loves it here, obviously.
Yeah, she loves it here, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she's always liked it here, so. But, yeah.
Even my boys like it here. Like my son upstairs, he would never
want to. But I've always liked to want to live in the suburbs. I've always wanted to live in the suburbs. That's, you know, but she's always wanted to live in the city, so she's been waiting for the last 10 years.
In case the tape didn't pick it up, I want to quote you that she's been winning for the last 30 years. Okay, you get in about 10 years, you get the next 30 years.
But he grew up on Oxford.
I grew up in this area the whole time, too. I lived on Major Street. I lived on Robert Street.
When?
Oh my God. I lived, you know, 42 Robert Street, right across from Landon School. I lived there for about 4 years when I was...
North of Vanna's store.
Probably about 9 or 10 years old.
So you know this neighborhood as well as she does.
I lived on Major Street above Harvard.
She's going to interview Anna's older son next week.
I lived on Harvard Street, just above, on Major above Harvard Street, for about two, 3 years. And then my dad bought a house. We sold out and we bought a house on Oxford.
Uh-huh.
And we lived there for, I guess, a good 10 years. And then I met Connie just when we were, my dad was living there. Yeah, so...
So you have lived in this
area. Oh, I've lived in this area all my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty well, too, yeah. Always.
But for some reason, there's some appeal.
But, you know, like, yeah. Oh, because where I grew up, I worked in Scarborough my whole time, right? For 37 years. So all of my friends, they all had houses in the suburbs.
Yeah.
You know, they were buying in Newmarket, Richmond Hill, Pickering. Right? So, you know, and I would go to their house and I would see, like, you know, we lived in smaller houses and, you know, you go to in the suburbs, you know, they're much more luxurious or open concept kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we miss the big backyards.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, his brother lives in Brampton, has a huge backyard.
Yeah, my brother's living
every
in
July 1st, he has a big July 1st party. Firecrackers,
so
the whole thing,
like
the fireworks.
Yeah.
But that's what there's also that, because I used to always, but my friends would always bug me and say, oh yeah, you live in the city. I says, yeah, I know, yeah. Well, you live in the suburbs. You got to go get a, you got to go get milk. You got to pack up the cars and get in the car, right? So I used to bug them that way, because it's true. You have your convenience. I mean, everything is here, so close, walking distance. Right?
Yeah, it certainly is
so
a trade-off.
It's a trade-off, yeah. Yeah. It's what you want, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I like it here, but I think, yeah, if she agreed, we probably would be living somewhere in the suburbs. We would live in the suburbs somewhere.
Yeah. From the looks of things, it's not going to happen soon.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So you really do love this neighborhood, Connie. Yes, yes. So your renovations have really been extensive. What about heating the house? What was that? How was the house heating when you were
I was scared to go to the basement because there was those big furnaces with all the arms.
Yeah.
I was scared to go to the basement. I used to run past, there was a door there that went to the basement. We opened it up now, but it was like closed off.
Uh-huh.
And I had to run by because I was scared.
That those big arms would grab you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was an oil furnace.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Back in the days, yeah.
And what do you have now?
Now we have gas.
Uh-huh. But isn't it interesting that you had that fear of that first with all the arms?
Yeah, I was scared of the basement. And my mother hated the basement. That's why most of the people in the area would put another bathroom. They would do it in the basement. Like my friends two doors down, her dad, he used to be a cement finisher.
Mm-hmm.
So all these three verandas were done at the same time with him and my dad and my cousin. And they did a basement bathroom. And my mother said, no, don't bother because I'm not going down there.
Well, see, you and your mother both didn't want much to do with the basement.
And a lot of the Portuguese, even my husband's family, they would put a kitchen back down there.
I've seen that. Yeah.
The kitchen and the bathroom down there. And then that way, you know, this was when you had company, your kitchen was always spotless, your stove, because you never used it. They never used it. They used the basement kitchen.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
And my mother said, no, don't do that with me because I'm not going down there. She did not like it.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
We were similar to that. Yeah. I like the light and the bright.
Yeah, yeah.
And I even want him to put like a nice insert into the door on the side here because I want more light to come in.
So you love the natural
light. I love the natural light, yeah.
And you do, for these homes, you do have quite a bit of natural light. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, my mother, I was like my mother then.
What else about the stores on College can you recall?
Well, there was that convenience store and the hardware store. And there was actually a theater and the billiards where the boys, I know my brothers would all hang out the billiards, the pool hall.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, and the two doors up from me, there was a black family living there, the McCades.
Mm-hmm.
But they're long gone. But they told me that on the corner of Brunswick and College, there used to be a club there. And a lot of the black people would go there to dance back in that day. That's where they used to hang out.
Were you friendly with the McCades? Did they have children around your age?
No children my age.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they were very nice people, so we always talked. When she walked down on Sundays, she had her church hat on and she would go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and her, they would always say hi. They didn't talk much because my mother didn't speak English very well, but they were very nice. And... There was something else. Oh, yeah, we used to go to the bagel store over here all the time.
On
there was
College?
A bakery. The what's the name of that bakery?
On College.
On College, between Brunswick and Lippincott-Borden, there was a bakery there.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a Jewish bakery, and they had bagels. We'd go there and get bagels and rye bread all the time.
Uh-huh. So you like Portuguese bread and Jewish bread?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother loved rye bread.
Uh-huh.
So we'd go there to get it. I have to try and remember that bakery name for you. And there was a theater there.
There was a movie theater.
Where it's a medical center now. That was a movie theater.
Oh, okay. I know that medical center.
Yeah. There was a movie theater there.
Did the children go to movies?
Yeah, we went there once or twice. Not often.
Uh-huh.
Because girls back then didn't go to do things like that.
They stayed closer to home?
Yeah. But like my dad bought my brothers a bike, but he wouldn't buy me a bike.
You're saying that the parents treated the boys and girls very differently.
Oh, very differently.
How would you describe that?
Very strict with the girls. Like I couldn't leave the veranda. Basically, that was my outings with the veranda.
So much more protective of the girls, and the boys had much more freedom.
You know how you had the park on Ulster, the Ulster Park?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to really go there. Only when I had to take, when I would use my cousins as an excuse to go to the park. I'm going to go take Anna to the swings. That's why they allowed me out, because I was babysitting my cousins. But no, I wasn't allowed out like my brothers.
And was that quite typical of Portuguese
family? Oh, yeah, for sure.
So they had to protect the girls.
Yeah.
But the boys had much more freedom.
In grade 5, we all went to the island school as a field trip.
Uh-huh.
And I know some of my girlfriends, my Portuguese friends up the street weren't allowed to go. I went because I said, Dolores is going. Because everything Dolores was doing, I'd say, oh, Dolores is going, so why can't I go, right?
So they let you go.
So then they'd let me go.
Uh-huh.
But I know Maria Silva up there, she wasn't allowed to go. You couldn't sleep outside the house back then.
So really a double standard, one for the boys, one for the girls.
For sure.
Uh-huh. What about dating at that time? When, say, by the time you were, say, 15, 18, were you allowed to date?
No, there was no such thing as dating.
Oh, because...
So, yeah, you didn't do that. So if you went out with a boy, you were going to marry that boy, basically.
So what happened? How did you meet your husband?
Well, he's my second husband, right? I was married in 75
uh-huh.
for that purpose of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way you had freedom was to get married. Then mm-hmm. you had your own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I got married right out of high school.
How old were you at that time?
18.
Uh-huh.
And I had my son, Steve, the one who lives in Brampton.
Mm-hmm.
And we were married 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I divorced. Yeah, that...
But you're saying one of the reasons for getting married was to get out of the house and have
exactly,
freedom.
Exactly, that's how it was then.
Was that quite typical at that time?
Oh, yeah.
Really, a lot
Dolores
of the girls...
got married the year after I did.
Also to get out of the house.
She had a little more freedom than I did.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Because we were from the islands, and in the islands... it was even stricter than from the mainland. People mm-hmm. from the mainland, Portugal, mm-hmm. were a bit more, you know, advanced than we were.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so really there was no dating.
No.
You went out with this guy, then you married him and had babies.
No, there was no such thing as dating. You didn't go to movie theaters and things like that.
Uh-huh. Unless you went with your girlfriends then.
Yeah.
Or your brothers.
Yeah, my brothers actually were the ones who spoke up for me.
In what respect?
Well, they would say, let her go, let her do something. You know, if I wanted to do something, they wouldn't let me, right? So I would cry. And they'd say, what's the matter with you guys? Let her go out. Because they didn't experience that restriction, mm-hmm. right? They were out all day, come back at night.
Would your parents listen to them some of the time?
Yes, they would.
Uh-huh. So they could influence your parents.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they were very strict. Actually, when I was a child, one time I went out with... my friend lived at 73 and her father was a taxi driver. Mm-hmm. They were Hungarian.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, I got in a lot of trouble then.
Because you had gone out with her.
Well, she said, my father's going to drive a family member to the hospital. Do you want to come? And I asked my mother and she said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I can't go. She said, we're going to be very quick. They won't know. That was a bad move.
So you went.
So I went.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't tell my mom and dad. Because I knew they'd say, no, you can't go. So I went, and of course, going to the hospital, that took the whole evening. So by the time I came home, they were outside with her mother,
uh-huh.
and they were just pacing back and forth. I knew I was in big trouble. So I came home, and oh my God. And they back then there were no rules that you can't hit your kids, right?
Oh, so you got it.
I got it bad.
Oh.
Because they didn't, by then they'd been like worried for like 2-3 hours. And they were like so nervous, they thought something happened. They didn't know I had gone, you know, I wasn't safe.
Well, they, and of course your friend had said we'll come back very soon, so yeah. They won't know, but yeah. You didn't come back very soon.
No, 3 or 4 hours later.
But you remember it clearly.
Oh, I remember that clearly, yeah. Big trouble.
And then, so your this husband you met a number of years later.
This yeah. husband I met in 81. Uh-huh. Because we grew up with the same people, so he knew all the same friends that we knew. Mm-hmm. And we were actually at we were at Hyde Park in a New Year's party at one of my friend's houses. And I was already separated at the time. Mm-hmm. So he asked if I wanted a ride home. And I said, no, I came with my brother and his wife, that brother that came in. Mm-hmm. I said, so we're going to go together and we're going to grab a cab and go home. And then after that, the boys used to play football at Central Tech in the field on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So I used to go with my son because I had my son who was like 3 at the time. So we'd go for a walk up the street and watch. So we knew each other. Mm-hmm. They went to a Supertramp concert in, I think it was in 76. I didn't go. I was married and my husband, he was very extremely jealous, my husband at the time.
So you went from overprotective parents to an extremely jealous husband.
Like when my friend got married, Dolores, uh-huh. I wasn't allowed to go to her shower.
Because your ex-husband.
I went out, the boy she married, he was a twin, and I went out with the twin. Uh-huh. Me and her dated the twins. Uh-huh. And so my husband said, you're not going to that shower. And I fought and said, I'm going to the shower. And we had a big fight and he hit me. Ooh. And I went with Paul's mother, the boy that lived up there.
So you did go to the shower?
I did. And the shower was held at down at the market. You know, by the park, there's a Portuguese restaurant?
Yes.
And they had like a little hall in the basement. That's where the shower was. So we went down to the shower. Yeah, that marriage was not a good marriage.
Well, to be married to somebody who's so possessive and jealous would be very difficult. Yeah.
But we keep in touch.
Uh-huh. Well, you have his son together.
Yeah, he was there with his wife, and he has 2 boys. Uh-huh. I set him up, actually. Because the girl that he married worked at the World Bank with me.
So you set up your ex-husband?
With my friend, yeah.
Does he appreciate what you did for him?
I hope so. Well, he's got 2 boys with her. Uh-huh. They're going to Jamaica next week.
Uh-huh. That's a nice story.
Yeah, I worked. Well, the first banking job I had was at the corner of Augustine College. It was called Central Trust. Mm-hmm. And then they were bought out by Guarantee Trust. Mm-hmm. And I was there for a year. And then after that, I went to the Royal Bank that was on the corner of College and Spadina.
Well, you stayed in the neighborhood
yeah,
with
I
your jobs.
Yeah, stayed in the neighborhood. Just come home for lunch every day and have lunch with my mom.
Uh-huh. Good daughter.
Yeah, and I lived on Robert Street. Because I knew a guy who had a house on Robert Street. Mm-hmm. So I asked him if he was renting. It was vacant. And I said, are you interested in renting it out? And he said, sure. So I rented the house. I lived on the first floor with Danny. Mm-hmm. And our friends lived on the second floor. So I would come here for lunch with my mom. And I worked that branch for 12 years. Now it's a computer store, but they're right. building something there. I don't know what they're building. I heard a Loblaws or something.
Oh, they are planning a Loblaws. I don't know whether it's been passed, but I've heard a lot about it. And of course, the people in the market are worried about that.
Yeah, next door to the Royal Bank was the Homestead restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Crest Grill.
Yes.
Do you remember the Crest Grill?
It
was a greasy spoon?
Yeah. Greasy spoons are good.
Yeah. That's where we went and picked up our coffees in the morning. And then the bank bought the Homestead next door and mm-hmm. built it into the bank because they needed more space. And then they got rid of it because there's, you know, there's one at Bathurston College or Royal Bank there. Mm-hmm. So it was 2 on both corners. Mm-hmm. They were so busy. That Royal Bank there, I worked there for 12 years, and a lot of the customers was from the market in Spadina. A lot of the retailers, wholesalers, that was where they had their accounts.
Yeah.
The hosiery companies, import, export, it's all there.
So you spent a lot of time working in banks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I left there after 12 years. I was at the Royal Bank 12 years. I went to HSBC, 21 years with HSBC. And then I had my stroke.
And you haven't worked since then?
No. Mm-hmm. Long-term disability.
Uh-huh. Would you come back to, talking about the neighborhood, One is public transportation, and then the roads. So let's start with public transportation. What kinds of buses and streetcars existed through all these different years, that for the last half century since you've been here?
Well, Spadina was buses back then also still.
Uh-huh.
And college was streetcar still. Mm-hmm. So we'd take the streetcar to go to church.
Uh-huh.
But very rarely, not often.
And what about Harbor? Well, you, of course, you didn't use Harbor. You were near college.
Harbor, yeah, I was college in Spadina.
I've noticed that. Whoever I'm interviewing, if they live near Harbor, that's what they talk about. If they live near Bloor, that's what they... So, of course, you used college.
Yeah, we never went to Bloor back then.
Did your family ever own a car?
No. Mm-hmm. Dolores' family had a car. To them, to us, they were rich because they went camping every summer. We never did that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go to Portugal every other summer for 2 months at a time.
Yeah. So they did have some luxurious items in their lives, like the trips in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember, maybe it didn't affect you at all, when they changed the streets? The streets used to be, from College straight up to Bloor Street. Do you have any impressions of what that was like? Good, bad, indifferent?
Well, for me, I remember when I used to come here to bring the kids to my mom.
Yes.
Because I started driving in, Rob was born in 84, so I started driving in 84. So I was already 30 when I started driving. I didn't have a need for it before that.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I started to bring him here, I'd have to take the bus on Spadina to bring the kids. I said to my husband, okay, I got to get a car. This is no good. So I started driving after he was born in 84. And I remember having to come down Harvard and then from Harvard all the way straight down to my mom's.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed that, so I had to come all the way around. You know, you get the grid.
What was that like for you as a driver, having the grid? And also as somebody who lived in the neighborhood, was that...
No, it was good. It was convenient because I would come along college and just come up. So it wasn't too bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then to park on the street, you know, you'd get tickets. So I put my address as this address so I could get a permit to park.
Mm-hmm.
So I would drive them here. For the first while, it was, you know, a hard time because of the tickets, you know, $30 parking tickets all the time. So I said to my husband, I'm going to use my mother's address for a bit so I can get a permit. I got the permit, so it worked out good. She really helped me, my mom. She raised them.
Really? So while you were growing up, she was working, and the family upstairs, your brothers helped for a while, then upstairs, and then your aunt.
My aunt lived here until 75 when I got married, because, you know, they weren't going to move out. My cousin lived on the second floor. His wife now, he passed away, so his wife lives at 53 where my brother lives. And they lived on the second floor, and my dad was so frustrated with them, but it was my mother's family, and she wouldn't let them go.
Oh, so your dad wanted them out.
Yeah, because he brought them all over. He brought my aunt and then he brought my cousin. Because my cousin was his mom had like 6 kids. So he came over to make money to help support his family back home. And he was 18. And he worked in construction. And I remember when he went out, his boss said, okay, we're going to go grab a beer. And he didn't tell my parents. And this was a man. He was an adult by then, right? 18, 19. And he went for a beer and didn't tell them, and they called the police. They thought he was lost. They say he never came home from work, so he's lost. He would never go out without telling us. And then he finally came home, and they were so upset. But, you know, he was a nephew, so they didn't do much, right? But they were so worried about him. I remember that.
Yeah. But you were saying that your dad brought your mother's family over, but didn't expect them to stay forever.
Yeah.
So that was irritating for your father.
Yeah, it started to get irritating because they were here. Like, my cousin lived here, and then he brought his sister and his other sister over.
And they all lived upstairs?
They all lived upstairs. So my aunt with the 2 babies lived on the 3rd floor, and he lived on the 2nd floor, got married, and then he brought his 2 sisters.
Oh.
And then his wife and the sisters didn't get along there for a while, so my cousins decided, okay, we're going to go downstairs. So they took the basement, they fixed it up a bit.
Oh my God.
And they had like a little living room down there. So they stayed down there.
You know, often when I do these interviews, the families come and they stay for a while and they move on, but not your family.
No.
They came, they stayed, they multiplied, they took over
and
more of the house?
Yeah, they took over the house, exactly.
So you had them upstairs and downstairs and the family...
They took over the house, and then I said to my dad, when I got married in 75, I said to him, okay, I'm going to move in. So I told my cousins, listen, I talked to my dad, and I'm going to move in. And that was the only way to get rid of them. So the ones on the second floor, my cousin and my aunt on the third, they bought 53 Major Street together.
Did you actually move in at that time?
I did. I moved in.
But your father couldn't get rid of them, and it was your mother's family. So
yeah. So I lived here from 75 till 79. Uh-huh. And then I bought a house.
But at least your father got rid of all of
them.
Which was so he had to thank you for that.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, I used to work at the bank. And then I moved to Shaw Street. And my brother, the one that came, he lived on the third floor. So when I moved out, he moved to the second floor with his wife because he got married after.
This home has a lot of stories and lot of family.
Oh, yeah. So it gets interesting. Listen to this.
I'm listening.
So my brother and his wife lived on the second floor. Uh-huh. And I worked at the Royal Bank of College in Spadina, right? Uh-huh. So the third floor was empty. Uh-huh. So when I was working there, there was a couple, a girl that came over from Europe. I can't remember if she was from England. She came over to Canada, and she was going to university. And she belonged to Knox Church. That was her parish, or her church. And then I was talking to her at the bank, and she needed a place to live. And I said, actually, my mother has a third floor available to rent if you're interested. Uh-huh. Her name was... What's her name? Amanda? No. And she came over and she looked at the apartment up there. It was just two rooms, kitchen, and a two-piece. And she said, okay, I'll take it. And she was dating a guy, a missionary from mm-hmm. Knox Church. Mm-hmm. And he moved in with her. And they loved my mom. Uh-huh. They came down. My mom taught them how to make wine. Uh-huh. And my mom allowed her to use my other sewing machine. So she was using the sewing machine to make clothes. And then they went to Africa as missionaries, the two of them. And my mother really got attached to them. They were very nice people. So they moved out when they went to Africa. And then...
Was your father still alive?
No, he had passed. So for her, she was a widow, and she didn't have any income coming in.
Oh, so
she was getting like a widow's pension, which was like $100-something, right? A month. So the rent is what helped her stay in the house because, you know, taxes and all that. There was no mortgage at that time. But all the bills, and to survive, because she retired, she got sick, she had stones, gallbladder stones, uh-huh. My older brother, he went to Mount Sinai Hospital, he had an assist on his spine, mm-hmm. and they messed him up really bad. He didn't even tell my mother, he said he was going to go in, they were going to remove the assist, he'd be home. Assist.
Assist, yeah.
And he said, I'll be home in 2 weeks, so I'm not going to worry her. So he didn't even tell her.
And what happened?
Well, it wasn't a two-week problem. It was a lifetime problem. They removed it, and they cut something, a nerve. He became a paraplegic.
Oh, terrible story. What
yeah,
a tragedy.
It's terrible.
He was young.
He was 22. 75. That happened in 75, because when I got married. Right after I got married, he went in for the operation.
So he became paraplegic. Was he able to live here, or did he have to live in Sinai?
No, he was... He was in Mount Sinai, and they said, okay, we're going to have to move him from here to a long-term facility. And my mother said, no, I want him at home. So she brought him home, and he lived here, and he had like... And you didn't have home care at the time, but he had a physiotherapist that came and helped him, and he got a little stronger, and he was able to walk with a cane. With physiotherapy, he was starting to walk. He couldn't see very well from one eye, though. And then he kept having seizures. He started to have seizures, and he would fall on the floor. And then my mom, you know, with us helping and everything, he was able to stay here a bit. And then after a few more seizures and he'd fall on the floor, he had to go into a long-term facility. So he went to the Queen Elizabeth on Dunn Avenue. He was there for years and years after that.
So that was a sadness for him and
yeah.
for the awful
and for
family.
My mom, yeah. She would go there, like she would call a cab and she would go and stay with him for a few hours, a couple of times a week. And then on Sundays when I was off, I would take her.
What a sad story. So this all started for him when he was 22 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, in 75. And then We rented the second floor out to this guy. He was a bit of trouble, though. And the third floor, I met another person at the... When those people moved out, I met these Portuguese guys that came to Canada alone, like my dad. And this was already in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Or early 80s. So I met one guy, and he was looking for a place to live. And I said, well, my mother has this third floor available if you want to look at it. He said, there's three of us. I said, okay, come and look. And they were very nice. So they came and checked it out, and they said, okay, we'll take it. So there were three men up there alone. No, the wives were back home, right?
Oh.
So they would cook for themselves. They would work. They were good. They would work hard, come home, cook, and stay in. And I said to them, okay, if you want to use my mother's phone, you can use it. And then when the bill comes in, because they would call their wives once a week, right? So I would give them the bill. They'd calculate all their charges. They'd give me the money, and they'd pay for their bill. So it was great.
So they were honest about it.
They were very honest.
They always paid their share.
Yeah, they paid their share. They were good people. And it helped my mother, you know, maintain the house, right?
Sure.
And the story about that is that those boys, one of them had a son my son's age.
Uh-huh.
And my son is best friends with his son.
Uh-huh.
They lived, when I bought my house on Gladstone, my son became really good friends with this boy. And then he was about 7 or 8, I guess. And then one day we were going to the cottage, my husband and I said he didn't want to come because he was at that age, he didn't want to come to our friend's cottage. So I said, okay, would John be interested in spending the weekend with you here? So my son upstairs said, well, you have to speak to his parents. So I went over to speak to the parents. I said, would you mind if John spent the weekend with my son, a sleepover? And the father said, do you not remember me? And I said, no. He says, I used to live in your mother's house. And he was one of the men that lived up there.
Oh, that must have been a fun reunion.
Oh, yeah. So he used to...
He had fond memories of your family.
Yeah, and he used to live on Salem next to us. So they're best friends. Like yesterday was a stag and my son's in his wedding party. So that's quite a coincidence that they're the same age, 1 year apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, the funny thing is when he used to come here, my son was here. So, of course, it would have been really difficult for him to see my son, who was the same age as his. And his is back home, so I'm sure it was very lonely for him.
But that's a wonderful story.
Yeah, and every time he'd come from work, he'd give my son a candy, right?
Very nice story. Well, I think we've pretty well touched... I just want to ask, the JCC at Lawrence Spadina,
right.
Is that an institution that your family ever used?
No, never used.
You didn't?
No.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. What about the university? Did it have any effect on your family in any way?
No. Mm-hmm. There's another family that actually you can talk to, the Galvans. Have you talked to the Galvans?
No.
His name is Manny Galvan, and they live on, I don't know the number, but maybe 80. Danny? I would say 80-something.
Well, I would say it's about
three houses south of Ulster.
So we'll talk about that after. Okay, I think I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.
Connie Cordosta, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
You can call me if you need more info.
Thank you very much.